And now a view from the Republican side of the Senate aisle. I sat down earlier with Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, and I asked him to sum up his party's perspective.
First of all, it's a rather robust minority of 49 out of 100 in a body where it requires 60 votes to do almost anything. I have high hopes for this new Congress. Divided government has frequently produced great accomplishments. I think of the Social Security fix in 1983, which was basically brokered between President Reagan, a Republican, and Tip O'Neill, a Democrat. And I think of welfare reform, a conspicuous success of the mid-90s, a product of the Republican Congress and President Clinton. So I would challenge our good friends in the new majority in the House and Senate to reach for important things, for example, Social Security and immigration.
Let's talk about some of the things that are likely to pass the Democratic House pretty quickly and what they look to you like and from where you sit in the Senate. An increase in the minimum wage, ending all tax subsidies for big oil, in the words of the mm-hmm. House Democrats, perhaps requiring inspection of all cargo entering the country to comply with 9/11 recommendations.
Well, we've been willing to raise the minimum wage for quite some time. The problem is we haven't been able to do it in a bipartisan way. We offered a package when we were in the majority last Congress that raised the minimum wage, as Senator Kennedy had suggested, but also modified the death tax, which is something the Republican majority cared a lot about. The president's indicated, and we agree, that raising the minimum wage is a good idea. We would like to, however, package that with some small business tax and regulatory relief to minimize the job loss that is the inevitable result of raising the minimum wage. But this is a deal that I think we ought to be able to make.
End subsidies for big oil. Are there 60 votes in the Senate, do you think, to go along with the House Democrats on a provision?
If raising taxes on big oil means raising taxes on consumers, we would want to certainly look at that. You know, big oil is an interesting term, a pejorative term. The bottom line for us is we don't think we ought to raise taxes on consumers, and so we'll see what they want to do. We're open to discussing it. We're not interested in trying to raise the price of gasoline. It's already entirely too high.
Do you think that this Democratic Congress can approve the kind of immigration legislation that President Bush sought in the last Congress and that he had more difficulty with on your side of the aisle than with the Democrats?
I do. I think that is an example of an issue that I'm sorry is not in their original list of things that they'd like to push during the first 100 hours. I had hoped that it would be.
Big issue for the entire country is Iraq, and your colleague, Senator Lugar, who will now be the ranking minority member on foreign relations, says the president should pay more mind to what Congress has to say about the war in Iraq. Do you agree with that?
Well, Congress has many voices on Iraq in both parties. You have, for example, Senator Lieberman, a Democrat, arguing for a troop buildup. You have Republican senators arguing the opposite. And I'm sure that all of those views will take the form of amendments to various measures that come through here. I, for one, am waiting to see what the president recommends, which I think will be forthcoming in the next week or so.
I'm just curious, as you say, in some cases, divided government has been productive, and we've seen some big changes approved in that situation. What's your sense of the mood right now of Washington between the administration and the Congress? Is it the kind of mood that makes you think big things will be done, or is it much more combative in positioning for 2008?
Well, the new Democratic majority promised the American people it would do important things, and I would like for them to. And I would define important things as something really significant, like comprehensive immigration reform, or since the baby boomers turned 60 last year, and we all know that's a huge problem, saving Social Security, now's a good time to step up to the plate and do something important for the country on a bipartisan basis.
Does it affect the operations of the Senate to have an unusual number of potential presidential candidates here right now?
Well, it may impact getting a quorum from time to time. We do have a large number of members seeking the presidency. That's not unusual, and the Senate will function quite nicely, and we hope they'll all be here when we need them to vote.
Because I've heard a member of the House say that so long as the Senate draws breath, there will be dozens of presidential candidates
in Washington. I think that's a pretty accurate assessment of the situation.
Well, Senator McConnell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are you ruling yourself out, by the way?
I'm ruling myself out. I have a big job right here.
Well, good luck in doing it.
Thank you.
Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the minority leader of the Senate Republicans. Michelle, much attention is on the House today, where there is a changeover of historic proportions. But we should remember that even while that is the case, the Democratic House will propose, the Senate will dispose, meaning that the relatively thin Democratic Senate majority, very thin majority, it's a very uphill slog to get to 60 votes for cloture in the upper house.
So, Robert, all that talk we heard today about cooperation, will that hold up in the future?
Well, I'll go out on the same limb as our colleague Andrea Seabrook, who covers this building. Only time shall tell.
Aha. Thank you, Robert.
You bet.
I look forward to hearing more from you at the Capitol later in the show. And there's analysis of the new Senate and House at our website, npr.org.